It was early evening, similar like tonight's night. The clouds took the night off. And Dad was riding with his kids in the van. And he pointed at the moon outside, which was similar to tonight's. It was just this fantastic sliver right outside. And he said, "Hey, Caleb," the youngest, "what do you think of that moon?" Caleb looks. And he looks intently. Broken. To the surprise of everybody else in the van. Broken. And Dad scans from the road to the moon and road to the moon and road to the moon. And then he understands, oh, Caleb, it's not broken. It's a crescent. Caleb doesn't know what crescent means. It sounds more like a sickness than a phase of the moon. And he says, "Dad, moon broken. Fix it." And everybody in the van laughs, except for Caleb, who is still as serious as can be. And Dad says, I can't fix it. It's too big. It's too far away. And with furrowed brow and hardly skipping a beat, Caleb says, "Dad, go there. Fix moon." What was going on in Caleb's mind? As Dad explained, this is a crescent moon. And he just couldn't get over it. As everybody else in the van was oohing and aahing at the perfect thumbnail sketch of that moon, Caleb couldn't get over that to him it looked incomplete. Abram, as we find it in Genesis, he's not Abraham yet. God gives him that name a little bit later. Abraham had quite a promise from God. 75 years old, he is given the promise, "You will be the father of many nations. I will go and I will take you to a land and it will all be yours. And your name will be a blessing and you will have great children and all these people, nations will come from you." Except that he has no children at all. This took outstanding trust. But now, years since that first promise had been made, it seems as though time passing makes it so that God's ability to accomplish that promise seems to distance itself. As Abraham watches, and Sarai, who's just 10 years younger than him, isn't so hot and young anymore as she used to be. Although she is still pretty good looking. Just before this, actually, she is down in Egypt and the king of Egypt wants her as his wife, just for her beauty. But we know beauty doesn't always fix the problems. And it didn't with her. She still remained childless. "God, I'm broken. Sarai's broken. What is wrong with this? Can you fix this?" God must pick up on what is going through Abram's mind as he initiates the conversation. I'd like to start us off. I'm going to read through portions of this and just comment as we go. From Genesis 15, starting at verse 1. "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward.'" As if God comes in, swooping in as Dad to fix and save the day, he doesn't do much except remind him, "Abram, it's safe. It's safe with me, and it's safe to talk to me." And Abraham does. But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate, Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You give me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." This, "you, God, what are you going to give me? You are the one who have given me no children yet. God, is this something too big for you to fix?" God responds, What does he say? And the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and he said, "Look up at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." What's interesting is that God gives no new information. He gives no timetable. He gives no reasons why he is waiting so long. He simply restates what he already spoke before. "You will have a child, and from your child will become all these nations. Go, look at the stars. Just count them. See if you can count them." And I wonder if Abram actually did. If he went out and said, "Fine, you know what? I think I am going to count them." And he looks up at the sky. But even without the technological advancements of the telescopes that we have today that are discovering millions of stars new every day, he still knew that this was an impossible task. What was God saying? "Abram, you're not broke. Sarai's not broke. What's broke is your simplistic view of how I assess the situation and how I am handling everything." How's everything going for you? Preparations for Christmas and family, everything going according to plans. All the gifts that you plan to get are there, ready. Those conversations, those family members, everything is just perfect and dandy. How's your stress level about now? If only God would give us a little more information. If only he would fill us in on the gaps on how long it will be that we'll have to endure this. If only he would tell us, if only he would direct us in a certain one way or the other. God knows that more knowledge will not fix your problem. The world waited. It was waiting for God to accomplish a promise that he had made thousands of years earlier. I am still dumbfounded by how God took so long to fix humanity, to come down here and right all of the wrongs. He was even silent for hundreds of years before Christ came. And then when he did come, Jesus didn't come here to explain, "Oh, by the way, this is why it's taken us so long to fix this." He didn't come to give reasons for some of the things that he had done. He didn't come here to answer all of the little what's and why's. But Jesus came so that he might save us. God knows that more knowledge could never be your savior. Insights can never be your savior. God is your savior. If there is anyone you can trust, it's Jesus. I mean, when you think about it, Jesus is the one who predicted his very own death and resurrection. I mean, it's one thing to be able to predict your own death. It's another thing to be able to predict your own resurrection on top of that and have a 3-day timestamp on it and then do it. And he did. And it wasn't just a show. It wasn't just to say, "Ha, look what I can do." But it was to say, "Look what I have done for you." So when Jesus says, "You are forgiven," it means you are. And when Jesus says, "I have it all under control," it means it is. And when Jesus says, trust me, it means we do. Abram did. Very last verse, verse 6 in 15, is Abraham believed. It was credited to him as righteousness. What's your moon look like? Is it broken? Or is it a crescent? Abraham, it looked broken. Us, sometimes it really does. It looks like the impossible, and we don't know how to fix it. But God does. And especially from his perspective, it's not broken. It's exactly the way he has it. And so is all of his plans for you. So that when we do get the other side, when we do get to view the other side from heaven, we will see its full perfection. All done, just for you. So, it's not by sight. It's not by facts. It's not by proof. It's not by knowledge. It is by faith that you are saved. Amen.